This podcast is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability, criminal prosecution, and the wrath of the tall man.
Boy!
Thanks for checking out a Rewind Wednesday on 90 for Chill, the podcast, with Catbus Russ. Hashtag Rewind Wednesday. And this is your host, obviously, Catbus Russ. I've got the Ava Cat, the Queen Kitty, sitting on my lap. And I just want to let you know what's going on. This episode's going to be dedicated to DC animated features, be it anime. Well, I can't come up with any Japanese rewinds right now, I should say. If you want to find one on the feed, I would suggest searching for Allie Higgins. She's got... our first episode of 90 for Chill the podcast was about the anime I exposed her to when we were dating for the better part of 4 years. So a lot of Studio Ghibli, some Makoto Shinkai chat, Mamoru Hosoda. We talk about Silent Voice. A bunch of, you know, we went to see a few movies in theaters, Shinkai and A Silent Voice. And I'd love to talk more anime, especially for this month. So if you want to be on the show, I'm looking to try getting 2 anime episodes dedicated to anime, I should say, up this month. We're looking at May 15th and May 29th. So I know that I had a friend of the show, Tim Bates, ask, are there any anime movies under 2 hours? And there are a few. Perfect Dark, I mean... Not Perfect Dark, sorry. Perfect Blue, shoot. My favorite movie, animated movie. Love the chat about it. Most of Satoshi Kon's work qualifies. But if you're a TV guy, or if you're a guy like myself in the late 90s, just grabbing any VHS tape I could get, if it was a feature or some 3 to 4 TV episodes, I was happy. So if you want to talk about 3 or 4 TV episodes or OVAs from an anime, let's talk about it. I just need 40 minutes on Zoom. So if you want to be a guest on those shows, send an email to rustthebus07@gmail.com. That's rustthebus07@gmail.com. Offer me an anime title or a theme and let's get the work. I'm currently available to record for the 15th episode, May 15th. Tomorrow, if you're listening, well, I guess today now, if you're listening to the podcast once it launches, Wednesday the 8th, I'm available after 3 p.m. Central Daylight Time today. Tomorrow, I'll have some time after 3 p.m. That would be Thursday, May 9th. And, well, it's going to be pushing. I got to take the Queen Kitty to the vet. But I'll figure something out, and I'm more than willing to figure something out. Late nights, not opposed to them. But I'm also available all day Sunday, so I'd love to hear from you. You can, again, email me at rustthebus07@gmail.com. You can contact me on Twitter or Blue Sky at CatBusRuss. And those are the simplest ways of getting to it. Let's get to the show. Thanks, Station Marie Harden, for keeping an eye on me. Happy belated birthday in this event. And I hope you're getting the most out of Skimbleshanks, the one-eared angel. Thanks for checking out 90 for Chill, the podcast with Catbus Russ, and on to the show.
Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Apologies in advance for the graphic nature of what you're about to see. Goodbye, Superman. Hello, power.
They have to be stopped.
They are so strong. I think they can beat you.
Tomorrow, it's done.
Superman is so beat.
Where do they come from? Where do they go? What do they want?
It ends today without a single loss of life.
Are you the Superman that the 21st century needs?
This is an act of war.
Stand down and be judged for your crimes.
It's all over now. Superman, say your goodbyes.
Congratulations, children. Your leaders are all dead.
Wait for it, kids.
It's a fair fight, yes?
All right, so we just got the word from Zoom that the recording is in progress, and this week on 90 for Chill, the podcast, we welcome back, I think, aside from the Poetic Critic, you have been the most repeated guest. That would be one Gregory Carl. How's it going?
Oh, it's going. Same old, trying to get that Christmas cheer and whatnot.
Well, that was last week's podcast, but I don't know. I just have my cats. They're not very demanding. So, and my parents are kind of like, don't even spend money for Christmas. They decided that, oh, we got to take the grandchild to Disney World. So they let me tag along on that. So it almost makes me want to take back every possible thing I've said about them on this podcast. I'd say almost. I mean, can't live with any regrets. So,
and my mom is just, she wanted us to stay the night over at her house for Christmas, and we had to scramble to get out of that idea. She's super excited.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting because I have my little brother and his kids' first Christmas this year as well. I mean, we're doing the vacation thing afterwards, but that's what I guess is going on. I'll be at C2E2 next week, probably walking around with my cheap varsity jacket, recognizing Captain N, the Game Master. Got over pretty well at Wizard World, so. But you know, that's a cartoon.
Have that jacket?
I'm sorry.
You actually have the Captain N jacket?
I had to go and make it myself, so it's got the N, not as authentic as the cartoon. It's varsity in design, but it's there's no leather anywhere or anything like that. Just I wouldn't even say suede. So
that's cool. I haven't even heard that anybody mention that for years.
Oh yeah, well, as I say, it got over pretty well. So, and also walking around on the back of it having all my podcast information on it, so you know, got the word out a little bit. So but you know what, we, as I said, Captain N is a classic. Well, hardly a classic really, when you, I mean, it entertained 9-year-old me, so, but, you know, a lot of, I mean, it did not, I mean, Simon Belmont should probably be suing for character defamation. Thank God for
For sure. He was a moron in that cartoon.
Well, Mega Man had to use the word mega in every sentence.
He sounded like he smoked like 5 cigars a day too, didn't he?
Oh, I mean, it's been so long. I don't even think I've really dug into YouTube clips of it, but it's like, maybe now that I'm trying to bring it up. I don't know. Maybe he just had a potty mouth and that was his F-bomb.
I don't know, man. I looked forward to all of that when I was a kid. That is Super Mario, Super Show,
yeah,
Zelda cartoon, Mario Brothers, all that stuff, man.
Yeah, I think the Zelda cartoon is the only one I really didn't watch. So, and then
it doesn't hold up very well.
No, and then I mean, it probably better than the CDI games they made. If anybody remembers the Philips CDI,
who can afford one?
I'm sorry.
Who could afford one?
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Right. One controller. I think you need to connect to. No, I think that might have been the TurboGrafx-16, but I digress about that. But you know what? Trying to make this transition. Okay, missed the cartoon one. All right. So let's go to the video games. Well, you know, it took 20 years before our subject this evening was able to get any real good video games. So there we go. That's the transition. And that would be the DC comics, animated features, which I would say go all the way back to, of course, Batman Mask of the Phantasm. I think that was 90, may have been 92, might have been 93, not too far removed from Batman Returns. And probably, like, it was not, but the fact of the matter is, it was not meant to be a theatrical movie. It was just supposed to, I think, be your classic air it once as a full feature and then cut it into five episodes for a week of syndication. It was kind of an end-all be-all, though, for the Batman the Animated Series I think it was meant like that, and I think it probably got the SpongeBob treatment. Like, SpongeBob was supposed to end after the movie, and then, nope, we're not going to let him die. I mean, there's got to be, I'd probably say, close to 70 DC animated movies now. For the most part, you can't really complain about the quality. And it all started with Batman and everything from Batman the Animated Series, and then it just, you know what? I hate that. I'm ashamed to say it. I use these movies a lot to catch up on the comic books I never read.
I did the same thing.
So
I've gone back and read a lot of stuff. Like, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but I started off with the most recent one, the Long Halloween.
I just did the binge last night, the last couple nights. So, yeah, I mean, that's. And I guess my thing with the Long Halloween is it's like comic, and I think this might be a charm of the DC animated movies, like comic books, there's really no set continuity.
No.
And I was thrown off as again, for me, everything started with Batman. I think, really early 80s when everything was reruns, like, Fox 43 was an independent station because there was no Fox at that time, especially that network. Everything was syndicated. So basically I saw all the Batman, the 1960s series, that the Munsters were on a lot, but I can't say, you know, at 5 years old, I was really aware of anything, hardly literate myself. And then everything picked up again with Batman, the Tim Burton feature, and then like, all right, this is cool and it's dark and it's something like I've never seen before. Then it's like I try grabbing some of the comic books and it's like, whoa, this is really intense for me. So I would say I can't really say that I started reading comics till my 30s.
Batman's got a wide range. Like, you got the stuff for kids, then you got the really deep, dark stuff for adults.
Oh yeah, and that's what I was kind of getting at, is like, how is a 9-year-old kid, after the Batman movie, how am I supposed to figure out what am I supposed to be reading? Is it Action Comics or Detective Comics? There's Batman. I mean, you can go to a comic book store now and, like, there's Harley Quinn, and then there's Harleen Quinzel, Criminal Sanity, which is a real good series. So I've really been picking up on it now. And I had a friend who volunteered at a comic book shop that's no longer around in Urbana. So got some recommendations from her, like, not really DC, but Bitch Planet was a really good one.
Yeah, I had the first trade of that. That is really good.
Yeah. And
Sex Criminals was really good, too.
Which one?
Sex Criminals.
Oh, I haven't gotten to that one. Let's see. What was the one I've been really got into was I'm really, because it's something to do with cats, and it's like. And I can tell you the plot. It's basically when some kind of virus has affected the world, where once women start menstruating, like, okay, then they're going to turn into cats. Cats when they're menstruating, and basically cat people, I guess you'd say man eaters. That's the name of it. And
that sounds awesome.
Yeah. So that one's another one, good one. I think that's another Image comic.
Which has a lot of really great creator-driven comics.
Right. And, you know, it only took him about a decade. I think CM Punk is even, like, somebody, he was commenting on something. It's like, yeah, but they can't, they can't draw feet or something like that with Image.
Well, I mean, it depends on the artist.
Well, no, I understand. But back when it was beginning and was pretty much guys who ran away from Marvel and DC.
It's like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of like Eric Larson was like that. He couldn't draw feet worth of smack.
Kind of nice that the DC animated movies are just kind of in their own realm, own world, each series, kind of like how comic books are.
Yeah.
Like I've been trying to, I have not given a couple, like, I read the book, I'm not gonna watch it. Like Red Sun was one that I actually took the time to read. And once it came out, it's like, yeah, it can't be as good as the book. And another one would be, I'm working on right now, is Hush. So I haven't seen that DC movie yet. And, you know, especially after the Long Halloween being a two-parter, when it came to its release as an animated feature, are they really given enough attention to, like, can you really do Hush in one 90-minute movie? Or same thing with the Red Sun. I mean, Red Sun's a real quick read, but that's just how great it's written. And all depending on your political leanings. So those are the only two I've really not, like, don't have a desire to read, but that might be unfair, in all honesty. And it's just, they've just been really great of late. I'd say with the exception of Deathstroke, Dragons, and Knights and Dragons.
Yeah, that one didn't really hold my attention for some reason. I was hoping it would be a lot better.
Well, I think it was awesome in the first like 15 minutes, but it was originally meant as like a short YouTube-based, maybe 11-minute series. And then I guess they decided there wasn't any money in that, you know. And after Quibi disappeared, they might be right. So I think they rushed the rest of it. It's sad because there's some great voice casting, which is a strong suit again of the DC animated movies. It almost makes you wish that they would just cast these voice actors to do it.
They spend money on that voice acting. I also watch it. There's which one was it? It was the Superman Black Adam. But it had a bunch of DC showcases at the end that they didn't even bill.
Okay.
And the money they must have spent on the voice acting on these things. They're just 10-minute deals.
Right.
I mean, big name actors for like three sentences or so. Like Malcolm McDowell did the voice of Merlin. And he maybe only did like three sentences.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. I haven't watched too many of the shorts, like so much time. But I know at least with the Dark Knight Returns series, again another two-parter, I think it's Eliza Dushku was cast as Catwoman, and at least and she gets her little short showcase. But at least they took the time to give her an actual character in the Dark Knight Return. No, it wasn't Dark Knight Returns. It was Year One, which recently got a 4K re-release, and that confused the hell out of me. I'm at Best Buy, and the art looks totally different than what the feature actually is. And then I'm like taking the time to look through, and finally found. Trying to find, like, why do I need to go and find a copy of this at Best Buy? Like, I just need to IMDb it, and I should see two. No, there's only one, and it's that one was Bryan Cranston as Batman. Now, the big problem though with casting Batman, and they usually nail it. I know Peter Weller was Batman in The Dark Knight Returns, but Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill are just your end all be alls, I think, when it comes to Batman and Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, yeah, you could have just gotten Conroy when like instead of Weller or Cranston, and I think we'd be happy. So
yeah, his voice just brings me back to childhood at this point. So I remember coming home from school and watching Batman the Animated Series like as soon as I got home. Like his voice was the first voice that I heard.
Yeah,
for the most part, for a good bulk of my childhood.
Right. And I think I saw him at Wizard World 2019, I think it was. I think he's pretty much, and I think also with the conclusion of the Arkham series, he's just he's moved on from Batman. I know I think he actually showed up on Legends of Tomorrow or something like that as Batman, but yeah, it's just, I think he's moved on. I know Mark Hamill's moved on. They both came back for the Killing Joke, which a lot of people aren't really high on, I think. I mean, it's a real short story, but it's Alan freaking Moore was the writer of that one.
It was pretty heavy when compared to other DC animated things. I was surprised they did it. And for the most part, kept it as a whole.
Yes, I think more people are fed up with the story since they had the ad subsidiary story, and maybe it's in the comics, I don't know, about Barbara Gordon as Batgirl, and at least in the animated feature, it's about her relationship after Dick Grayson's left, and basically it's a, I don't want to say grooming, but it's definitely a daddy issue situation there. And I didn't mind it because I've been around enough crazy chicks to totally understand it. Yeah.
Because I mean, her father's a police commissioner. I mean, he can't, I mean, of course, you know, he loves his daughter, but he's also, you know, a police commissioner in Gotham City. I mean, how much time did he really have to spend with his daughter?
Yes, and that's talked about in The Long Halloween. I mean, real brief. And I really need to catch up on more stuff with after watching The Long Halloween, because it's like, yeah, I remember I think it's Jimmy Gordon, his son, and I know he becomes a serial killer in the comics, but
yeah. I forgot about his he had a son too, and I jumped into watching I read Death in the Family because I heard it was good. Like, oh shit, James Gordon has a son? I forgot about that.
I did watch it was another one I recently watched that was a cheap DVD Blu-ray at Best Buy recently. I think they're just trying to clear the shelves of it. They're so
Yeah, it's cheap for a reason, because that is one that they the beginning I think is new footage, but then they use a lot of footage from Under the Red Hood.
Yes, and Killing Joke too.
Yes.
Well, I only played through one version of it, of course. Which I mean, I know if you buy it digitally, there's only one version. I think they take away the choose your own adventure portion of it. With that said, it says it's 61 minutes, and I'm pretty sure, no, at least how I made my decisions, it couldn't have been more than 45, but
yeah,
my decisions resulted in Joker and Batman dying. So,
there is a crazy aspect to that. I can't remember exactly if they covered this at the beginning, but Joker getting involved with the UN and getting diplomatic immunity, did they cover like any of that?
Not in the Death of the Family animated film.
Okay, I couldn't remember, because I recently read that, and that was so insane to me that Joker pulled that off.
Yeah. Well, all they really said in it, what, and it's addressed, I I can't recall it. So I just that I know if you even forgot the name of the second Robin. The second Robin.
Tim Drake?
No, not Tim Drake.
Dick Grayson. It's so hard to keep them in
Jason order. Todd. Jason Todd.
Yes, that one.
He basically, he just basically said, well, he got suspended by Batman, so he was following the Joker because of a. Or I don't think he was following the Joker. He just knew that it's either
trying to find his mom.
That's Death in the Family. I can tell you that. I knew that one, but it was so basically going with the Under the Red Hood. It's like, I think it was either Batman was chasing the Joker and Dick Grayson Jason Todd had determined that there's some kind of it was Ra's al Ghul was trying to get a dirty bomb and he was using the Joker to get it.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that Ra's al Ghul angle. It's been a little bit since I've watched the animated deal.
Yeah, under the Red Hood, everybody's real complaint about that, and I guess it goes into Death of the Family, is that it's John DiMaggio as the voice of the Joker. John DiMaggio is best remembered as Bender from Futurama. So
I thought his voice sounded familiar. I couldn't connect those dots just hearing it.
Yeah, so there's the disconnect there. I mean, he does voice work. I mean, he makes a living at voice work. So I'm still going to have fun with Death in the Family. I still have 6 more endings to find. But
yeah, stuff like that never really bothers me. I just kind of just surrender to what's in front of me. Unless it's really bad, then I just kind of tend to have fun with it when it's really bad.
Yeah, we'll get to that, I think, with Death in the Family and the interactivity. That was, so I'm still intrigued by it.
I didn't know there was an interactive aspect to it. I only just watched it on, I just watched it on HBO Max.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a whole interactive choose your adventure deal to it.
Right, yeah, so like it'll pause. There's about, I got about 4 decisions, which were, does Jason Todd live? And then it goes from, and how, like it really, and how does he survive? Were 2 of the options, or just let him die. And then there was
a nice nod to how it was originally made, because you know that when that the whole write-in deal, when they made the storyline?
Yeah, I was aware of that. It's like, oh man, with Under the Red Hood, they kind of saved the Jason Todd character. I know he wasn't popular. I don't think a lot of teenage proteges were popular in the late 80s. And that was probably mid 80s. Not too far removed from Will Wheaton as Wesley Crusher. And I guess I can see it because I'm pretty jaded about children, at least his characters and stuff. Like Jurassic World, hated those kids.
Oh yeah, I understand.
But Jurassic Park, I was 13 when that movie came out, so it's like I'm a kid. I'm not gonna cheer for them to get eaten.
Well, so. I think with Jason Todd though is that he was so bitchy and annoying to read.
No, and Frank Miller actually does it in The Dark Knight 2. It's Dark Knight 2. I read the graphic novel. It is sloppy as all hell. It was just basically, hey, we got Frank Miller back. We didn't say he was going to do something. We didn't say he was going to put his heart into it, but we got him back. Basically, at the end of that, we find out Jason Todd has taken on the persona of the Joker, and it's rather, but everything just wraps up so quickly, you don't really get to appreciate it. And
speaking of that, they also kind of do that with, I also watched Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker.
I have
kind of do that.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't watched that one myself. I don't know. It was
for years. I blew off Batman Beyond for a long time. And after watching Return of the Joker, it was so good. Like, I might have to go back and watch some Batman Beyond. It was way better than I thought it would be.
I never heard anything bad about Batman Beyond. I guess it was for me, maybe it was Return of the Joker, like, and Bruce Wayne dies. And it's like, you see, now you kind of lost my connected. But there's a lot of stuff I saw. I mean,
just he is 80 in that cartoon.
Right, but it's not like natural causes, if I'm correct. So, you know, it's like people joke, like if a 90-year-old murders somebody, should we really put him in jail? I mean, you made it the 90 years. I think you earned it. Or so it's like.
Well, that's a whole big argument you can have with Batman too, about his choice of not killing a lot of his villains. Joker, like that can be a whole podcast on its own.
That's true. And I mean, I guess I kind of take it on Batman's theory when it comes to actual killing of things, I'm not a big fan of the Dark Knight trilogy, Christopher Nolan's three films. Yeah. I didn't like the grounding it in reality to the point where nothing crazy can really happen. I mean, I guess there's an element that the true craziness can be, can be attained without being meta, but
I don't know. One would argue that Dark Knight Returns, that second one, like that's got to be up there as one of the best superhero movies of all time.
Oh, well,
that was a good movie. And one would argue like it's crazy, but it's kind of grounded.
Oh no, that's
it's a different kind of crazy.
Oh no, that's the if anything, that's the charm. I was not a fan of the dark. As I say, I'm not a fan of the trilogy. I do need to rewatch The Dark Knight. I saw it in theaters opening weekend, and I thought it was just way too long. They wasted Harvey Dent / Two-Face.
They 100% did that.
There's just so many things they did wrong, and with that you could have taken away. Scarecrow got more than anybody would say he deserved in the first feature, in all honesty.
I don't know, man. I kind of like Scarecrow. I think he could do cool stuff with Scarecrow. I think he's pretty underrated.
Oh no, he's one of the more effective villains. I mean, it's kind of a shame in The Long Halloween that he's stuck carrying around the Mad Hatter.
Yeah, see, I have a lot of problems with The Long Halloween. Like, for one, like, it annoys me they didn't keep the art style of the comic book. I wanted the purple, like, mouse ear Catwoman, for one. Like, that was my major gripe.
Okay. I can definitely see that.
We'll just keep more of the art style, because the art style was really the best thing about The Long Halloween is the art style. Other than that, let's be honest, that Long Halloween is basically boring. It would have been okay as like a live action kind of deal, but as an animated deal, if you're going to make something animated, like do something crazy. Like you can do Green Lantern Blackest Night. Yeah, and that would have been awesome for Halloween. Way more awesome than The Long Halloween. I feel like they only did it because Halloween was in the title and it came out around Halloween.
Right. Oh yeah. No, there's a degree of that. I don't know. I enjoyed The Long Halloween because it, again, is another, pretty much another reboot story, another retelling. I think that's the big thing about Batman is you have to incorporate the Joker in some way in every story. And I think a lot of people again would say, well, yeah, I mean, the entire relationship between the Joker and Batman is essential. Like with the Dark Knight Returns, you know, you don't see anything about the Joker except, you know, him kind of getting out of his comatose status as the bat starts making headlines again. And then the second, you know, and you don't have to have him in for long, like especially in the long Halloween. It was great that he's comes back just because he wants to be the premier killer.
Yeah, the plane scene was amazing. That was a good scene with the plane. Like, he's got to be down there somewhere. I'm just going to guess everybody.
Yeah, I got a 50-50 chance of getting him. Yeah. So
the perfect Joker, but it had its moments.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I don't know. I just don't see why they did that one.
I think a lot of it is that it involves so many characters, and I think it's just that it's a nice, easy pace. I mean, no, it's not going to be do anything innovative, but if you're looking for the detective elements, and I think that's what I enjoyed most about it, because it's so early in the Batman history that, like, you know, Batman is regarded as the world's greatest detective when we get to Justice League. Like, that's his only real quality. Especially when you bring in the Justice League. And in the long Halloween, it's basically, he isn't a good detective. He's still trying to figure this out. And you know, how the film closes, it's like, yeah, basically Harvey Dent was going to happen on his own. So you didn't really solve the case.
Yeah.
So I like that element. I'm very much though into I can be intrigued by just good story structure, I guess. But as you said, with animated features though, everything is boundless. Now, I love that at least the Batman DC movies, animated movies, they pretty much keep Gotham City and Batman in the same kind of vein of the animated series. You got this weird 30s, early 40s aesthetic, like classic film noir, yet you still have all this modern stuff.
You even have the Gotham by Gaslight, the old like 1800s. You got 1800s
Batman. Now that's one I didn't really care for. I think
I didn't love it either.
I mean, you like, it's a good relationship story with Wayne and Selina Kyle, but otherwise, like, oh, and you know, just trying to retell Jack the Ripper, and it's kind of a letdown to find out it's how that one concludes. Like, I don't think we really, basically, let's just say, I don't really think we want to see a lot of our heroes twisted into villains. Like, that's what Injustice is for. Or that's what the Green Lantern is for, you know.
Yeah, I got problems with Injustice too. I'm currently reading that.
I just didn't. Again, that's another one. It's like, I own both video games. Do I really need to actually watch the movie? So
yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I feel like they take a lot of liberties with a lot of characters. And it's just, I don't know.
But you know, we
crossed that over with He-Man.
Oh, I did not know that. You know, as long as you got Kevin Smith involved, there's a lot of promise there. I still haven't watched the new He-Man yet.
It's not good. It's okay. All about Tila.
I'm sorry? It's all about Tila, did you say?
He-Man show with no He-Man.
Well, He-Man is a pretty one-dimensional character. Like, he's Prince Adam. I mean, he's not, like, I guess you would say you would like to, I mean.
Well, okay, don't build him as the He-Man and the Masters of the Universe then.
Well, I mean, it's
something.
Well, like,
it's a fine cartoon. It's just, I think it pissed a lot of people off when you just call it He-Man and Masters of the Universe, and there's no He-Man or Masters of the Universe. You got Tila running around doing stuff. Well, the second season apparently is all Evil Lynn.
Well, I again, I'm actually going to have to give it time. I mean,
lied to, is what I'm saying.
All right. Well, I really the only thing I've heard about the series directly is that it was, because I hear She-Ra is great. But what I hear about, all I've heard about Batman really comes from Xavier Woods doing an appearance on the Masked Man podcast, the Masked Man show. And he, like, if you remember SummerSlam when Kofi did the job to Lashley, he was wearing his, it wasn't SummerSlam, Money in the Bank, I suppose. He was wearing his Skeletor gear. And I don't know why they didn't have Xavier Woods around, but he had He-Man gear. And then he was crazy about the black character they brought in the He-Man, so on Netflix. So there are definitely fans, and you know, truthfully, you're always going to hear from the loud minority over everything. But
I'm going to side like it is like if you were ever, it's an okay cartoon. It's all right.
All right.
I just feel like we were lied to.
Okay. Well, me, I'm a bit. You know, you can. You know, if the twist works, everything's okay. So I'll have to. So again, I still need to give it time. But
yeah, we're not here to talk about He-Man.
No. But so let's see. With
Long Halloween. Like I don't know, man. It mostly kind of bored me. But then I had just recently got done reading it.
Right.
So I had my own. It was still fresh in my head.
I think there's an element of. With comic books, it's like everything really does, since it's not animated, since it's not in motion, like everything has to happen bang bang bang. One frame you have to have something happen, the next frame something's gonna have to happen as well, each page. So I think with the translation to animated features or regular features, like I mean, I've been an unabashed fan of Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice. I think it really works if you take in how like a comic book works. And I think that's why people thought, oh, it's boring. And it's like, well, it's like nothing really happens in a comic book. And when something happens, it just bang and it's gone. So I'm not going to stand for Justice League, at least the Joss Whedon one. I didn't mind it, but I understand, like, yeah, this isn't what I, like, I dug Zack Snyder's stuff. So that's where I stand with those. And
yeah, the cut was way too long. The Scott Snyder cut or whatever it was.
A four-hour movie is like, I don't know what they were thinking with that. But I mean,
you ever see the rundown of the slow motion?
No, I haven't. I haven't. Like, it's just, again, this podcast is about movies and features that fit around 74 to 99 minutes. So, like, if I'm gonna have to keep watching, you know, like, I finally finished, like, I had probably held on to the JFK director's cut Netflix DVD that arrived in the mail.
Jesus Christ.
For probably a month and a half, just because, okay, when am I going to have 3.5 hours? So.
Yeah, I had COVID when I watched the Snyder Cut, so I had nothing else to do.
Right.
Otherwise, I would have never have watched it.
Yeah, that's makes total sense to me. And with all that said, it's kind of at least good that movie theaters are opening back up, so I can watch longer movies. And like, you know, before I go see a movie, I sent out a tweet like, all right, going to see this, you have 2 hours not to die, because I'm going to shut my phone off. So I kind of, I really, really miss being able to just sit and watch a movie and not worry about anything. Wow. this podcast, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's for the ideal runtime, 90 minutes, but I end up making a 90 minute movie a 2 hour affair because, all right, stop, check this out. So, but you know, that's, so I still got a bunch of movies I got to catch. Like one, I got to see No Time to Die because it's kind of pivotal to watch it before I finish off the definitive screen draft of that, of the James Bond series. So I can't use the spoilers, and I still got to watch Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City. I haven't heard anything good about it, but you know, I did the podcast. Well,
movies are good.
And then I got the, and I've got, well, I mean, obviously Last Night in Soho is one. I'm a big Edgar Wright guy. I mean, a lot of stuff I got to get out. It's just very difficult, I think, especially as a single guy. Like, you know, I think there's a, movies are kind of a shared experience. So you don't want to go to a movie and be on your own unless you're the one of three people. Like when I saw Spiral from the Book of Saw, like, all right, well, there's two people I can probably stop after the movie and get an opinion from for the show. But
I probably had way more fun seeing the new Ghostbusters taking the boys than I would have by myself.
No, that's what I'm, yeah. That's, it's weird because I made my parents, or I shouldn't say I made, I think it was, a lot of it was just trying to kill time, and my mom was stuck with us all summers. So she had to see a lot of movies. She probably didn't have a lot of desire to, but she's pretty stubborn. So I don't think, I think she left all the movies she didn't want to see to my dad, who doesn't really like to see movies. Like, I haven't taken the time to investigate that. He's not a big action fan, but it's like he can appreciate a good setup for action.
I don't think any dads do. I think my dad would take us to the movies and he would always fall asleep. And that, no matter what we saw, no matter what it was, his response was always, it was okay.
Yeah. Not less so. But getting back to this with animated features, it's like a part of me wonders why we weren't doing why we weren't doing big budget animated comic book movies from the start. Like why we were so dependent on waiting for the technology to catch up so it'd be live action.
Cartoons seem to turn a lot of people off for some reason.
Oh no, I totally know that. I mean, I do know that, but it's kind of like I'm big on, well, we got to re-educate people. Like in Japan, at least in the late 2000s, or sorry, late 90s, when I was big into anime, anime at the time took up a quarter of the market. And you can't really say that with American animation.
Well, I mean, it was special at the time too. Like you had to go out of your way to get Japanese animation.
That's for the Americans though. In Japan, it's there all the time. Only, as I say, it was a quarter of the market.
Well, yeah, for them.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, why do we have that kind of disconnect with animation? Like, I know Ralph Bashke's really only done, you could probably count all his excellent movies on one hand. American Pop, Fritz the Cat. I'm sure there's others I haven't gotten.
The Hobbit ones too, didn't he? Didn't he do The Hobbit?
The Hobbit was actually done with Rankin Bass. No, he did the Lord of the Rings.
Wizards,
yeah, there you go. Wasn't that Fire and Ice is okay. But like there's just, as I say, there's a point to me, it's like, I don't know, maybe it's just I think it was something, actually an article I was skimming through on The Ringer about how, aside from music, well, not even music in that case, like K-pop, J-pop, J-rock never would have picked up in the late 90s. I think in the 90s, there was something. The article was about how soccer is finally catching on in the States. And I think what the article is saying, like, we did not want to, we wanted all the foreign physical stuff. We did not want their culture at all. And I think maybe that's changing, at least beyond soccer. With BTS being the biggest thing out there in music right now. It's just,
yeah, there's always been a weird kind of xenophobia about certain things.
Yeah, it's so it's like when we get back to the States, though, it's like we could do all this stuff is what I'm saying, but we just choose not to. And like, I don't know, you create enough great stories. I mean, and I think, you know, for the long animation took a long time all the way up till computers took over. But like, I still think it was usually cheaper to do an animated feature than it was to do a live action feature, because you got egos, like you're paying your actors more than what the story is worth in most cases. Especially when you look at the 80s and early 90s action movies, like Stallone was pretty much just like, once you cast Stallone, you don't have that script anymore. It's his material. Now, the beauty of Stallone was that he would typically write his own material, I'd say half the time. So like, at least, you know, he meant it for himself. Like, I mean, I'm sure
he's
you're
kind of a special case, though. I think he always kind of had like he had a background in writing. Like, he wrote the first Rocky. Like,
oh, he wrote action
films have that kind of background,
right? No, he wrote all the Rockies, and I think he's directed the majority of them, actually, by the end of it all. But I'm just saying, it's kind of nice that he's got that, at least if he's going to do this, if he's going to do movies where it's all about Stallone, he's at least writing them instead of, you know, movies that end up being all about Schwarzenegger. And, you know, he doesn't do, you know, he's not going to take the time to type 120 pages. So, now I think, at least with DC animation, I think people kind of expect, I think, to a degree, the Batman the Animated Series style, which I kind of appreciate that the movies outside of Batman tend to just be Batman somehow set in the 40s and modern day at the same time. Well, the rest of the series doesn't have that, the DC universe have that kind of charm. It's like, whatever the time is. There's kind of comes a distinction, I think. And I think Batman's got the best villains of all of the DC characters. I mean, what, Superman has Lex Luthor, Brainiac, Bizarro, and
Doomsday, Mr. Mixaplick.
Yeah, Mr. Mixaplick. What I'm getting at, though, is that, you know, that's four. And, you know, while Batman...
Bizarro, but I'm not sure if Bizarro really counts as a villain. He's more of an annoyance. Like, Superman more has annoyances.
Yeah, well, and it goes back to Solomon Grundy, too. Like, especially in The Long Halloween. It's like, yeah, he's just a guy, he's just a zombie who wants to be left alone. But,
yeah,
a little inspiration, and he'll come to you. I don't know, like, you can definitely you know, out of all those Batman movies I've seen, like, okay, Mask of the Phantasm. I mean, even the Batwoman and the Mystery of Batwoman, I think it was, and Deep Sub-Zero. I mean, they're all pretty solid. I mean, Gotham by Gaslight, well, it's an experiment, you know. It was an experimental comic. So you're kind of forgiving for that one. I mean, it's like Batman hardly misses.
Yeah, but I mean, I would argue that the DC animated universe has a Batman problem. I think they rely too much on Batman. Even the ones that aren't Batman, like say Justice League Dark, doesn't need Batman in it.
Well, you need, basically, with Justice League Dark, you needed Batman to welcome people in who don't understand how bloody cool Constantine is.
Well, I mean, I would argue that people who don't already know that aren't really watching Batman animated movies. So, it's like AEW. Like, they're not necessarily bringing any new people in with Batman, especially because Batman fans aren't really. I mean, they're just gonna watch Batman, and that's. I forgot where I was.
Well, no, I understand what you're saying. They're
not bringing any new people with it.
Well, no, I understand the AEW had a built-in audience to begin with, and I can't really say that the promotion has done much to expand upon it. If anything, it's horrible business practices by WWE that is making the casual wrestling fan look for alternatives.
Yeah, but did give us Danielson and Omega, and God damn it, that was a good match.
Oh yeah, no, I think it's I don't know if I'd say the product's at its best. No way is Imperium gonna lose to Wagner and O'Reilly. No way.
No.
Let's just have the Wagner heel turn. And I guess Kyle O'Reilly's gonna have to sign a longer extension.
That is kind of part of the fun I have with these movies though, because I watched The Ray, Freedom Fighters, The Ray, and like the end fight is like, this is stupid. Like, they stand no chance. Overgirl versus The Ray. You can't tell me Nazi Supergirl is going to lose to The Ray. I mean, come on now. It's Supergirl.
Yeah, that was one I haven't seen. So I really like when it came to this binge, I did watch I tried to catch up on most of my Justice League stuff that I picked up on, like. And I'm surprised we haven't really talked about Suicide Squad. Or not Suicide Squad. And you could say, oh, great, we're going to go back to Batman. Well, Batman Assault on Arkham, which is really just a Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just like, I think that's the one that really made me totally like head over heels, like anticipating the latest DC movies. I mean, that was that movie is just sheer, like, okay, one, why is it PG-13? Like, this stuff is pretty intense. Like, I mean, we get to really explore how damaged the Harley Quinn is with the Joker. Deadshot's really delivered well. Now, Suicide Squad, Hell to Pay, that was more of a cash grab. Like, I don't, like, because it didn't really do anything to erase 2016 Suicide Squad. So
kind of a shame they haven't really made a good Suicide Squad one, because I've been reading the original Suicide Squad stuff.
Are you talking Suicide Squad? Suicide Squad from the 70s and 80s, or
talking about Suicide Squad from the 80s, the original John Ostrander.
Oh no, I see. I haven't really gotten around to that. I started with the New 52 Suicide Squad, which, I mean, the New 52 just screwed up a lot of stuff. Period.
They screwed up a lot of things for a lot of years, and they spent too many years just revamping everything every year.
Right.
I'm kind of done now. I just kind of jump into storylines. I think that's the best way to get into comic books. Especially now, you can just say download an app and you can just say you like Batman. Like, oh, look, I'm just going to jump into this storyline.
I think you're right on that. Like, I kind of like to try starting at the beginning. So it's like when I'm in the comic book shop, it's like, oh no, that's already at 6. Do they have one? Nope. Okay, then I'm not really. And that's a fault on my own. Like, because
it's not like you can start from issue one anyway. I mean, think of how many issues of, say, Batman there are.
So oh no,
a lifetime to read all of those.
Well, but then I go back to the fact that it's one of the charms of the DC animated universe is that continuity be damned half the time. Like, you're gonna get so I watched Justice League Throne of Atlantis, which is just how they decided to introduce Aquaman to the series. It was to the DC animated movies, which I think took place after one of that I watched DC Crisis on Justice League Crisis on Two Earths, which is actually pretty solid. It's the worst James Woods character ever because he's not being James Woods for the most part.
Who was he in that one?
He was Owlman.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Like, no, A View to a Kill, the James Bond movie with Christopher Walken as a villain, but he's not really walkening up.
Yeah.
You're like, no, you gotta, like, and it's not really fair to Christopher Walken, at least, because, I mean, he's not very walking in The Deer Hunter, which he won an Oscar for. So, but I don't know, ever since The Dead Zone, I guess he's become walking. And he usually is able to translate it into every movie. Like, he's excellent in anything he's done with Tarantino, be it True Romance as the Sicilian or Pulp Fiction when he's talking about the watch. So that's where you spend a lot of money on voice actors. And this is the guy who, like, you know, he's done his Family Guy runs, like, he's been an asshole for the past 25 years.
And he is really funny in the comedy roles that he's been in.
Yes. No, he's still James.
Really funny.
I mean, he's still James Woods, though.
That guy had, I was saying Christopher Walken. You were talking about Christopher Walken, and I suddenly, I remembered his part in, what was it, Joe Dirt? Is that James?
Oh, yeah. He's
5 minutes. It was so funny.
Oh, yeah. No, he's, Joe Dirt isn't, I mean, it's all sophomore humor, so I understand why it's poorly received critically, but it worked. Like, it's constant, and it's like, if you don't like the humor, you're not going to like the movie, but if you don't like that style of humor, you're not going to like that movie. But aside from Kid Rock, everything works in that movie. So, yeah. I mean,
I think Kid Rock was pretty solid as that character. I mean, you just have to separate yourself from him being, you know, Kid Rock.
Well, I mean, Redneck, like,
that guy.
I don't know. Kid Rock is just such a bloody anomaly, I guess. Like, he made his money pretty much being Eminem with electric guitar tracks. I mean, and he was nowhere near Eminem. I'm just saying they both came from Detroit, and they both
hit. 100% garbage.
Yes,
and he's made a fortune on
the moment like, oh, so they really expose the fact that he's got nothing to do with hip hop. Once that was exposed, he became this rock, this Southern rocker, which is like, you're from Detroit and you ain't Bob Seger. So, I mean, it's just so insulting whatever he does. Now.
Oh no, you want to throw up a little bit in your mouth. Look up his most recent track.
Oh, I've seen the lyrics. I have not listened to it. And I know Weird Al had to verify that. No, this is Kid Rock doing something stupid. It's not me doing Kid Rock.
Yep, no, it's but 100% Kid Rock.
So it's like, if you know, how ridiculous is it if Al Yankovic doesn't want to associate with it?
Parodies itself. I mean, he can't.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of it. It's just, oh gosh. This isn't about Joe Dirt, so we're getting back to Superman. So Justice League movies, like, okay, Throne of Atlantis was good. I mean, especially, I don't know if that's the one where, no, I think that was Crisis Two Earths, where Batman is banging, not Batman, Superman's banging Wonder Woman. And they even do the glasses bit. Like, he gives her a pair of, like, no, you can just walk around. And he gives her a pair of glasses. So I think that is Throne of Atlantis. And it's weird because they get a stint again with the voice actors. Like, Jerry O'Connell has been Superman for a long time now. And Rebecca Romijn has been Lois Lane. And it was Rosario Dawson who was doing Wonder Woman for a while. And best of all is Nathan Fillion as Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so there's so much charm I think they've been able to keep with the voice actors that you can be a little more forgiving of the Justice League features.
Yeah, more or less consistent, I mean, for the most part. Oh, I mean, I think Nathan Fillion's in a good bulk of them.
Yes. Oh, no, the casting has been great. It's just like, I guess it becomes more of a series or like a sitcom, you know, I don't want to say sitcom, but kind of like, oh yeah, it's our favorite characters again. They're back. What's going to be wacky. So that's what
wish they did. They kept some of that wackiness though in the animated features. Cause I don't know if you've watched did you see Teen Titans, the Judas Contract?
No, I haven't. Only Teen Titans thing I've seen is, at least, in terms of feature length, it would be Teen Titans Go to the Movies, which I'm still wondering if my parent, sister has let her. I bought it for her son, and it's like solely because of the last line of the movie.
A lot of that Teen Titans stuff is really fun. Like, me and Dex are watching they have a new Teen Titans Go Christmas deal on HBO Max right now. Those are pretty fun to watch.
I'm still waiting for Teen Titans Go to See Space Jam to actually be away from the paywall. I heard it's not any good, but, you know, it's still, I mean, I don't know. So many people, it's weird being, you know, usually 10 to damn near 20 years. Oh, gosh, I'm bloody old. at least in retail and banking, it's very interesting when you're 20 years young, like 20 years older than your coworkers. And like, you really hold Space Jam in high regard? Like, no, or Hocus Pocus? No, that ain't my childhood. That's your shit. Don't expect me to go to bat for that. So I obviously want to bury Space Jam, but it's neither here nor there. I was intrigued by the sequel. I have not watched it. I mean, Don Cheadle's the villain, so it's a good selling point. But
that wackiness, though, like Judas Contract, like they left it. There's one really wacky part I really wish they would have left in that animated, because I would have loved to see it animated, is the part where the villain, I forget, something blood, but he appears in front of the UN in full supervillain garb on like, yeah, we need these nuclear weapons, blah, blah, blah. And then Teen Titans are there like, no, you can't be serious. You can't give these people an army and weapons or whatever. Like, oh, no, he seems to make a good case. I think we should give him these things. He's just sitting there and just full supervillain garb. Like, are you smacking kidding me? He's in a mask, like all red and black. You're just going to give him weapons and an army?
Well, I think it's more of allowing him to have. I mean, if he's got the funds, I mean, there's UNICEF isn't going to give him the money. But that's all technicalities, neither here nor there.
It's so wacky, this. Just the whole scene, like, when you're reading it, like, the smacking Wolfman art and everything, he's just in the UN. It is just a guy in supervillain garbage. I don't know. I really would have loved to have seen that.
Well, as I'm saying, though, when it comes to the wackiness, I mean, it's just more of the entire. I mean, that is in the Justice League's animated features, basically, is you've fallen in love with these animated characters. So you're going to be. And they got familiar voices. I mean, I don't want to say it was. I think it was Crisis on Two Earths, where Shazam is voiced by Sean Astin. It's kind of like, oh, well, you know, I just love these actors and they're playing characters that I grew up loving. So it's kind of, as I say, it kind of has a sitcom feel. There's not a lot of wackiness in these movies. Like, the wackiest I would say would be Assault on Arkham. So, but it's,
it's been a while since I've seen that one. That one that had, like, CGI stuff in it, didn't it?
Assault on Arkham? No, I wouldn't. Yeah. No, that was basically Deadshot and Waller forms Task Force X to go and assassinate the Riddler, who knows how to deactivate the bombs in their necks.
It's been a long time since I've
seen
it.
Oh,
remember watching one of those Suicide Squad. One.
There was, I think there's only been two of them. The other one is Hell to Pay, and that didn't really work out too well. Just lacks the humor and the charm, which I think is really goes to why, you know, you can say what you want about the live action Suicide Squad movies, but I really dug, I thought it ran too long. Again, this is a guy who wants his movies to be under 100 minutes. But
I'm with you.
Yeah, but
I think Hell to Pay is the one that I actually saw. I don't think I saw Assault on Arkham.
Oh, yeah.
Hell to Pay and thinking that it just wasn't good.
No, there's nothing memorable about it, except it did have me try tracking down. I still made a mistake. Like, I bought Throne of Atlantis thinking, oh, this is the one where Reverse Flash gets shot in the head. No, it's Flashpoint Paradox. And they play that.
That is probably my favorite. God damn it, Flashpoint Paradox is good.
I haven't gotten around to that one. As I say, I ended up misreading my info trying to track it down and bought Throne of Atlantis. All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, Flashpoint is one of the, and they're still trying to figure out if they're gonna make it work as a movie. I think they've gotten a lot of people from different Batmans. Like, I think Michael Keaton is supposed to play Batman in a Flashpoint Paradox live action.
I really think they're messing up starting off the Flash like that, because I mean, there's where do you go from there? I mean, you can't top Flashpoint Paradox in
well terms that's
of Flash storylines.
Well, like,
it's gonna be hard to top.
Well, the mistake they're making is that we already have a Barry Allen that we like. I have not watched any of the Arrowverse. I'll be upfront about that. I mean, it's just, you know, television itself. I'm very, very hard to keep up on.
Yeah, it's also CW, so it's a lot of whiny teenagers.
Yeah, but I'm just saying they have their Flash, and they have their Green Arrow, and it's like, I don't think they want, I don't think there's a want to see the emo Voldemort, if I'm correct. It's been a while since I saw Fantastic Beast, The Crimes of Grindelwald. But I guess at the end of the movie, we find out, oh, it's that abused child is Voldemort. I mean, he was interesting in Trainwreck, being the 16-year-old that Amy Schumer tries to shag. But so, I mean, he's just such an odd, he's got an odd element to him. I can't recall the actor's name.
Ezra Miller?
Yes, you're correct there. Right. So, I mean, as I say, we just have, like, if you're going to bring Green Arrow into the DC, whatever the hell it is now, because I think they've given up on the ECU, the EU.
I think they've just made peace with the fact that they're not going to be the Marvel Universe. So they just kind of settled into, we're just going to make grown-up comic book movies.
Yeah. Well, and to an extent, it's like, I don't know. Well, like Aquaman was great. Wonder Woman was good. I haven't seen Wonder Woman 84. Shazam was a lot of fun.
It's not good. I was very disappointed. I wanted to like it.
Oh, no.
I so much. I like everybody involved in it. But yeah. It just wasn't good.
Oh, so, well, no. And that's what I've heard about 84. And also that runs way too long. So
I do like the Maxwell Lord arc, though.
Well, as I say, I had
Maxwell Lord.
Yeah, no, like, I'm familiar with the character. But I mean, I dug Birds of Prey. I liked the second the Suicide Squad. I'm really pumped for Peacemaker. The animated series, and it's nuts. Like, I got to. So I wanted, when I was at Wizard World, I wanted to catch the Robert Patrick panel. Well, they didn't put it in the typical panel room, so I was kind of disappointed by that. Got to see the Rooker again. I mean, he's gold. But so it's like, well, I got to at least, you know, stop by. So I went and spent $60 for the autograph. And I go in, like, I couldn't find anything with him on it to have signed. Or at least affordable. So I bought a Terminator 2 11x17.
Michael Rooker?
No, this was for, I already got my Rooker autograph. that's a Yondu pop, actually.
Right on.
Yeah, that's so cool. I took this poster from Terminator 2 to get Robert Patrick to sign it.
Okay.
And he's very down to earth, very cool. It's like, and I like apologize. Look, man, I couldn't find anything with you. They don't market you enough. And he just looks at me. No, it's his movie, man. It's like, yeah, but Robert Patrick, you make everything better. I love From Dusk Till Dawn too. You're the only reason to watch The Marine. And it's like, oh, and he's, you know, very humble. And then I did not realize that he's playing Peacemaker's dad in the TV series. It's like, oh, you got to carry John Cena's ass again. I really would have loved to have said that, but so
I just rewatched that trailer before we did this podcast. It just occurred to me, oh yeah, that's got to be coming out soon. And I saw him as his dad. It does make me happy to see him.
Yeah, well, C2E2, John Cena will be there. I think he's to promote Peacemaker. C2E2 is kind of one of the big, I guess you'd say there's four big Comic-Cons. You have Comic-Con San Diego, of course, Comic-Con New York. I hear a lot of great things about Emerald City, which is Seattle, and then you got C2E2. So it's the last big press drop, I think.
Yeah, he does look like he's having the time of his life being Peacemaker. Like, he legitimately just looks like he's having fun in that whole trailer. Like, every scene. He just looks like he's having a ball.
I think it's the first time, like, John Cena's biggest problem is that he's had to act for a lot of his work. And I'm not saying he's a bad actor by any stretch of the imagination. Like, when Dwayne Johnson got into the movies, like, it was basically, I get to, like, you're writing characters for The Rock. And John Cena did not get that luxury. So,
like, no, he had to eat it doing movies like The Marine and whatnot.
Right, but what I'm saying is he didn't have the luxury is they don't write characters to be John Cena for the most part.
He gets a fair amount of heat, but from what I've seen of John Cena, like, I was out of being a wrestling fan for a lot of the Cena years, but, man.
Oh, no, as I'm saying.
It's like watching Justin Timberlake on SNL.
Yeah.
As much as I don't like his music and whatnot, like, man, that dude really gives it his all.
Yeah.
Like, he goes right in it. He's hilarious. He's awesome. He throws himself in it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is when John Cena gets other movies besides, like, he's great in Trainwreck, he's great in Suicide Squad. I think the only other movie he really gets a lot of credit for being great in is Bumblebee. Nobody really said anything good about and that goes for the entire fit picture, Fast 9. And I haven't watched any of the Fast movies since the Fast and the Furious. Like, yeah, I mean, it's
a little too douchey for me.
I saw Point Break. I don't need it again. So
yeah, it's one of those classic action movies. Like, why did they remake that?
Yeah, well, that's beyond. I don't even want to get into trying to think about that remake.
I don't know. I feel that way about Cowboy Bebop too. And, like, can't you just watch the old thing? Why do we need this new live action thing? Just watch the old thing. It's already there.
Well, because then you can't make any more money off the old thing. And that's the problem. Yeah, I mean, that's the truth around that. And I can't say, like, from what I've seen, I haven't watched the Cowboy Bebop live action. From what I've seen, doesn't look bad. So, of course, I'm the guy who bought a freaking hentai sketchbook of Faye Valentine at the last Comic-Con I was at. So,
yeah. Well, then you will be smacking disappointed. Stick to the anime.
Well, as I say, it's...
I'm telling you, the guy who probably would have also bought the hentai sketchbook of Faye Valentine, you will be disappointed in live-action Cowboy Bebop.
Well, I mean, I had Michael Dubois on. He was intrigued, so that's why I think, yeah, I'll have to give it a chance. Look, I didn't have Netflix until my ex-girlfriend. I bought that would be Allie from Allie's Accessory Shop on Etsy. Like, getting a Fire Stick set up for her, and she loaded it in the first, and like, she immediately subscribed to Netflix. Oh, she's. If you listen to the podcast, she's responsible for Allie's Accessory Shop on Etsy's trash feature review. She went, we're on pretty good terms. I mean, I take care of her cat because she moved in with her ex-boyfriend, now her fiance, and she couldn't take the cat along because the condo he lives at only has one cat, allows one cat, and
that you need to knock that shit off. Don't do that shit. What are you doing?
I can't
take care of her cat when she gets married.
No, I mean, I got a weak thing for cats, man. Especially this one-eared little dude. No, I mean.
Oh, be a man.
Ah, I'm all
for shit now.
I love cats too.
Steal her cat.
That's no.
What you should do. Steal her cat. Take her cat.
No,
Russ, pick her cat.
No, I'm hoping because I mean, I'm hoping she realizes she can be on her own feet. She's done a lot. She's done a lot of great work. She, when I met her, she was dealing with her schizoaffective disorder was so great that she couldn't really do things. And, you know, we, you know, after nearly four years of a relationship, which ended just because it just wasn't going to get better. Not because
I'm just hearing more arguments why you should take her cat.
No, well, I don't want to take her cat. I don't want to take her cat because when that cat disappears, I want to go and pick my own cat out. So, so that's the truth. So I'm gonna. So and I like the. He's also Skimble is also the most ironic cat to me because like. I think she knew the relationship wasn't gonna last because she uses the same adjectives to describe him, and we're both like, this cat definitely thinks he's people. He'll have discussions with you. I will, obviously, I host a podcast. I just love talking, so it's like we look at each other like, no. We're like, he's a, and on top of that, he's the most cuddly cat there is. I hate to say that.
Yeah, I get it. And I think I'm people too sometimes.
So we've gotten to Justice League. We've touched on the Suicide Squad. I guess when it comes to the Justice League, the only one that I, well, we can talk about Dark. I thought Apocalypse War ended up being very interesting.
Yeah, I really love the effect of John Constantine just losing it.
Yeah.
Which makes perfect sense. Like, here he is. Like, he's in a nutshell, like, he's basically like, he's just this guy. Like, he drinks, he smokes, he hangs out at the bar. And all of a sudden, here he is, like, in this big thing with the Justice League. You know, here's Superman. And he's just John Constantine. He's just a guy with some tricks. Of course, he would lose it. I would lose it and start fucking crying too. Like, yeah. Jesus Christ, how the smack did I get here?
Right. And
it's a lot.
And I did, I think it was Hellblazer, City of Angels was really good. They've done some great things with Constantine, and it's kind of a
Constantine does not get his due. Like, he is, way back in the 80s, he was a bisexual character struggling with AIDS. And I don't think he gets near enough credit as he does. Like, there's this thing with Jonathan Kent now. And I'm just like, who cares, man? There's John Constantine way before Jonathan Kent. Jonathan Kent is boring. Well, like, that's the only reason why they made him bisexual. Because he's a boring character.
Right. No, I haven't followed up on that. But the thing is that, as you said, nobody gave Constantine his due back in the day. And this is I don't think he was Neil Gaiman's character.
He still doesn't get his due.
Right. But what I'm getting at is that, especially in the 80s when they were doing John Constantine, it's like, okay, that's really, that was a comic they weren't going to push to the world. That was a comic for comic book fans. So you couldn't set, nobody was taking, there was no idea until 2005 when it was like, well, Keanu needs a new action franchise.
Yeah, that was a book that dealt with real evils in the world that the Justice League will never touch.
No, no, precisely and exactly. It's something that's more along closer to The Watchmen than it is to it's an adult feature. So making Jonathan Kent queer is basically this is the first time they're gonna the first time they're, well, I okay, I thought Hugh kind of just encompasses everybody. That's why I used it.
I don't know. I'm so confused about the terminology these days. I was just trying to be correct.
Oh no, and I appreciate that. And you know, if you can explain it to me, my Twitter handle is at CatBusRuss Audience. I'd love to actually get some genuine feedback. I know the numbers look all right, but come on. I mean, I would probably lean towards, I'm definitely like I acknowledge with the Kinsey scale, I'm not a zero, which is okay. So I'm definitely not a three. So I'm not in that middle space, but situation calls for it. I'm flexible. So not very flexible, but there is some flexing. Yeah. So, hey, no, in all honesty, like, audience, if you can really explain the all these terms, greatly appreciate it. At Cat Bus Russ, at CATBUSRUSS. Why, but rather be riser than stubborn. But truth be, if all my friends who are in the community, they probably know how stubborn I am. So I'm a work in progress.
I've always kind of felt like DC kind of had a problem with this kind of thing. Like, they, I feel like they almost have a problem with making anybody full gay. Cause it seemed like they just makes everybody just bisexual instead. Like, Alan Scott and his son, they're like, they made them both bisexual, and they also double date, which is way weirder than me than to me than being bisexual, because I cannot ever in my life imagine double dating with my mom. Can you imagine double dating with your parents? That sounds like a nightmare.
And we're in the age of phocest, man.
I don't even know what that is. I just don't want to double date with my mom.
Oh, okay. Phocest is probably the most popular porn category right now, which is about like shagging your stepmom, shagging your stepsister.
Oh, that's the scientific term for it. Okay.
I don't think it's a scientific term, but it's basically faux as in fake, cest as in incest. I think one porn company actually made a musical about it. So
the whole thing's smacked up to me. I don't know. It's just like the old Jonathan Kent thing. Like, they've had these characters forever. I don't understand how they have to make new ones when they already have the established ones that they could just put to the forefront.
Well, no,
they have they've had Midnighter and Apollo forever, and you probably don't even know who Midnighter and Apollo is.
No, I'll acknowledge that. But here's the thing: it's not. I think DC did it just to make a statement to the entire world. That hey, a Kryptonian could be different than just straight. Like, so I think that's the point of that. Now,
yeah, it does make sense, because I mean, if I was an all powerful being, I think I would probably just smack everything that moved also.
Well, we can go into Homelander and his entire second season. some other time, but
oh man. Smackin' Homelander, that's a whole smackin' podcast also.
Yeah, so what I'm getting
isn't that the beauty of comic books, though? I mean, you could just go down so many different aisles.
No, and that is totally true, and it's as I say, that's why I like the DC animated features, because there seems to be like continuity seems to be thrown out the window like regular comic books. And I think it's why this is strictly fanboy stuff, the DC movies, is because people are not that patient. At work, with the coworker, the libertarian who's watching videos, I don't think you can actually, Telegram, some other, it can't be YouTube, gosh. What I'm getting, they were saying, she's not going to be working with me after this week, so I could probably go nuts, but I digress. But she was like saying, oh, we need like 20 years off of Batman movies. Why do we have to have, like, we didn't even get the Ben Affleck Batman movie, which I wanted to see. I thought Affleck was a good Batman.
He was pretty decent.
So, and it's like, no, it's like, keep it in your, keep it in the front of your mind. Like, especially now with Star Wars, like, I did make the statement, like, we did not have a Star Wars movie for the first time in 5 years in 2020. Look what happened to 2020. We were dependent on Star Wars movies. I mean, hell, it made Yeah, I would say it may have made Trump a little easier to stand.
Well, Batman's like a pulp hero, though. Like, everybody knows who Batman is.
Right.
Everyone knows that origin. But what you could just put Batman and, like, you do Batman and blah, blah, blah.
Well, no, the fact that we have Gotham by Gaslight is proof that you can just throw Batman at anything. And I'm just saying that, no, once you have IP, it makes less sense to not try to use it as often as you can, especially when you have the number two Batman character, number two comic book character of all time. Like, that's the one thing DC has. They have Superman, the first. They have Batman, the second. I don't think any Marvel character, even Spider-Man, has, you know, come close to the success of it. And we're talking...
No, you're right. No one in the Marvel Universe is nearly as iconic
as Batman and Superman. Yeah.
No, no way.
Right. So
everybody knows those two characters.
Yeah. So we want, and when your audience, especially when, you know, comic book fans who are more than willing to read God knows how many comic book lines at a time involving the same character, like, as I say, I was reading Harley Quinn and I think it was Harley Quinn and Joker and Harleen, Criminal Sanity at the same time. Like, the audience,
check those out.
Criminal Sanity is more art over substance, but there's some great bits. Like, Harley Quinzel basically a profiler. She's whatever you would call William Peterson or Ed Norton in the Red Dragon story. And the Joker is not necessarily the villain, at least how deep I've gotten into it. But
yeah, I more tend to read the more fun Harley Quinn. Like, I read some of Old Lady Harley.
Oh, yeah.
Harley, yeah, in the future, and she's got the on Staten Island or whatever.
Right. Oh no, I've been meaning to. I have the first season on DVD, which is ridiculous because I know it's on HBO Max of the Harley Quinn cartoon.
That's a fun show as well.
Well, I haven't watched it yet, and it's really insulting that I haven't watched it. I mean, you have Mother Lovin', Ron Funches is King Shark.
I love the whole bit with the little guy with the mind powers. His name's escaping me right now, but I want to give it away because you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But there's a really funny bit between him and Wonder Woman. I think it's probably in the first episode.
But I don't know. There, if anything, like with the problems with gender and comic gender or in sexuality identity in comic books is like Harley Quinn's been on an off and on relationship with Poison Ivy for I don't know how many years now.
Oh yeah, for years and years. Like, yeah. As a comic book fan, like I just kind of waited for that to happen when the animated series came out.
Right, but I'm just saying I've known they've been messing around for a long time. So
Doom Patrol actually did a really good job of that in the comic book series. Like it tackled a lot of things about gender and whatnot in the Grant Morrison run, which I think they're kind of starting to do in the HBO show.
Yeah, like Doom Patrol is interesting just because, like, I don't know what Warner Brothers, Warner Entertainment was thinking when they came up with the DC channel.
I didn't either.
This was before HBO Max. It's like, what was the point?
I subscribed to it.
Right, but you're amongst the tens of thousands.
Yeah.
Like, that's not... Let's not give them.
They made a Swamp Thing TV show, and I was in. I subscribed it instantly, and then Swamp Thing got canceled
right off the bat. Like, I don't know. Like, it was a It was just a messy idea. Maybe it was just an experiment to.
It was good. I liked it a lot. I think it just cost a lot of money to make because the Swamp Thing character and that, like, that couldn't have been cheap.
Oh, that no. Well, no, I wasn't really talking about Swamp Thing. I was talking about DC, the DC universe. Like, I think that was more of like a test run for HBO Max, like seeing if there was enough interest in DC stuff to carry their major platform. So
maybe. I mean, it worked. I mean, smack, it hooked me.
Yeah. So no, the only other DC movie that I think really came to mind was one that really drew me in, I think got my attention to the there's two. I did watch Super, like I really dug especially after the sequel, The Death of Superman and Reign of the Superman. I thought that worked out pretty nice.
Yeah, those are two decent ones.
But
Death of Superman was a big deal. I remember growing up, like there were newspaper articles and whatnot.
Oh yeah, and like one of the first DC movies I bought, though, like it was $5, maybe even $3, I think a Black Friday deal. It was Superman Doomsday with Adam Baldwin as Superman and Hesh as Lois Lane. I can't remember who did Luthor, which is something we should address. Is I think Rainn Wilson does an okay Luthor.
Yeah, he's decent. I prefer him as a voice actor.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand the appeal of Rainn Wilson as an actor.
I mean, that's just it.
Like, I get it on The Office. He was just supposed to. And I get it in Super, but that's pretty much like the extent of it. Otherwise, like.
He does his good specific type.
Yeah. I mean,
about it.
Right. I mean, my favorite Rainn Wilson moment was I can't remember what bullshit music award show it was, where like it was Wayne Brady hosting, and it was like hit a bit based on his TV show at game show at the time. You like finish the song or something like that, and he finished the lyrics, and he had Kanye West and Rainn Wilson, and it's like, and the song I'm gonna do is, I think it was Stronger by Kanye West. And the bit like Kanye gets the first crack at it, and he basically screws up and says, "You all." Sorry, Kanye, the lyric is y'all. And then Wayne Wilson just goes nuts on the rap. That's how long I've been on ya. And then like, all right, and Rainn Wilson wins. And he goes into the, "You and me, baby, gonna get lost tonight. Let me be your black cape moss. Let you be my cape, black cape moss tonight." So, and like, that's all I really needed from Rainn Wilson ever. But Luthor is good. And but the movie that kind of drew my attention was Justice League, or maybe it was just Batman. Doom was it. Was the title.
Yeah, that's a good storyline. And I never really understood why everyone was so mad at Batman. Because if I was Batman,
you'd have the contingency plan.
The same thing.
Yeah.
You have to.
They brought it up on Robot Chicken at one point, like basically joking around when Robin discovers this. And hey, how are you gonna kill? How would you kill me? Oh no. but I think like Doomsday, Superman Doomsday, the original, they just rush through everything, and it's kind of just like, no, this is you got to be missed. Like, there's not even the Supermen in the original animated feature Doomsday. They like do the Doomsday fight, which is probably more true to the comic book than Death of Superman, the movie. But basically, no, Luthor's got his clone, and it's a full-grown Batman. eventually when Batman wakes up, it they have the showdown, and it's like, and wear the old suit next time.
Yeah.
And Doom is the same way. It just kind of like rushes from point A to point B, and it's like, yeah, there's probably some substance that can be held there.
So. Yeah, there is. I've actually read that storyline, and I think what they do with those animated movies is they want to keep it to like an hour 20 max.
Oh no,
I think they just try to keep it at that time period, because I mean, you can stretch so much of that stuff out. Right, I mean, they're not going to have an hour 20.
Right. Well, it's again why I haven't watched. You know, as I say, I have not don't plan on watching picking up Hush anytime soon. The animated movie. I got the comic to read, or Red Sun. And honestly, with Red Sun, it's kind of like I think curiosity will get the better of me. But I mean, it goes back like. But I think that talking about Red Sun, though, bringing it up, kind of goes back to our, I mean, there's so many ways to look at comics, because as you said, you can just jump into any comic book line, and that's probably the best way to do it. Just figure it out on your own when it's going. I did that with Deadpool, so before the Brian Posehn run. The Brian Posehn run of Deadpool is when Deadpool is hired by S.H.I.E.L.D., to kill all the reanimated dead presidents, because they can't have the Avengers, they can't have Captain America killing George Washington.
Yeah, that was a great run.
Yeah, so, but I mean, I read, you know, I was reading everything up to that where, oh, then like Deadpool is kind of killed, kind of not, and, but, you know, it gave me Hit Monkey, which is a show I still need to get work watching. On Hulu right now. Why do you think
Deadpool is one of those fun characters, though? Like, you can really just jump into anywhere with Deadpool.
Oh yes,
and Batman. There's a there is a linear storyline, but then there's also like it's so hard to explain and keep track. That's why I've always been a storyline guy. Just give me a story. Like, I know Batman's origin. Just
yeah. Oh yeah. No, I get that. I think a lot of it with comic books is basically when are the distributors are just basically waiting for when they can get the next great writer to work on it. Like Dark Knight Returns, Frank Miller. I wouldn't be. I mean, I know he went on to eventually do his, you know, classic stuff like 300 and. Kind of blanket. Oh, Sin City. But, you know, it basically comic book lines were just clamoring on getting Frank Miller to write one of their stories. I mean, he did one of the best Wolverine stories, which ended up being adapted pretty much for the Wolverine, the movie.
Man, I need to watch that movie again. How good was that movie?
It was very solid. I mean, we're not talking, I just want to make sure we're not talking Logan here, right?
We're not. It's yeah. Just. Yeah, you brought it up like smack. That's a good movie,
right? So the Wolverine, and I mean, so and same thing with Alan Moore. Like, I'm pretty sure the Watchmen happened before the Killing Joke.
I don't think the Watchmen ever took place in the actual DC universe, though. I think they just kind of grandfathered the Watchmen stuff in later on.
I think they hit the story of Watchmen is that it was a. Actually, Alan Moore was hired to write for Batman or one of the major lines, and then he came up with the Watchmen story, and it's like, yeah, no, we can't do that. I don't know. We don't want to have Batman doing that, but if you want to use these characters. So that's how the Watchmen became what it is, if it wasn't an entirely Alan Moore basically, okay, coming up with his own characters to begin with. I mean, based on when he was told, no, you can't have this happen to Batman. I mean, as long as we have that, and I know Frank Miller did a Dark Knight 3. I got it. I haven't watched it. I haven't read it yet. So there's always going to be great I think storylines, as you say, that will be adapted for DC animated movies. I mean, it's just
always going to be changes.
Oh, there's always going to be changes because it's a really a question of audience patience. Like, you're trying to get the common man to watch your cartoons, and you're hoping that they don't let their kids watch them.
Well, yeah. Also, like, comic books don't necessarily end. Like, a movie, it has to end at some point.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'd say again, it goes all the way back to either Days of Future Past or the Phoenix Saga. That was when we finally started wrapping up stories, and then just like, and we'll reboot from there. I think that's how it all has worked out since the inception and such. And I mean, so I'm basically saying it took 50 years before we decided to just really nail down stories. Like,
I think it just took that long form to take that medium more seriously, because for a lot of years, like, comic books were just, they were frowned upon. They're like, oh, this stupid stuff is just for kids.
Yeah.
And then eventually we got older and we got into positions to where, oh no, we can make this awesome stuff a reality now.
Well, I think it really comes down to is just, I think it's the same thing that's happened with video games, is that the initial audience has now become old enough to create. It may have been your, so for 50 years, comic books may have just been your trash you gave to your kids to distract them. But those kids started writing loved it, and they started writing actual stories and, you know, adapted these characters for themselves. So I don't know what Bob Kane would think, or
I think Bob Kane would be all for it. It's making all kinds of money. That's all Bob Kane really cared about.
Well,
about that guy, dude. That's a whole other separate podcast.
Well, I can't recall. I mean,
not a great George, guy.
What Siegel, I think, was the Superman creator, and he didn't get shit.
Yeah, a lot of those comic book creators didn't, which is really sad. Until recently, some of that stuff, like I think the Kirby stuff recently, they've starting to getting that recognition that they deserve and whatnot. But
yeah,
that's a whole separate thing,
right?
It's about
So looks like we're getting to the war game tonight. So. Not to discredit the women, I mean, but the NXT Black and Gold versus NXT 2.0. So I think it's a good point where we could wrap up this pod.
We should probably wrap it up.
It's getting
to be about time, and Dexter is probably going to start kicking on the walls anyway.
Right. So. Yeah. So, Gregory, is there anything you want to promote? Any place they can find you on social media and what have you?
Well, you can find me on Facebook, and that's about it. I don't really have time for anything. I'm mostly just hanging out with the kids and the baby.
Yep. Yeah.
She's starting to walk.
Yeah. It's gonna get exciting.
That's how my time's been occupied: overtime and time with the babies.
Yep. Well. All right. As always, you can find me at CatBusRuss on Twitter. If you want to be guest on the show, just give me a theme, a director, an actor, or just a movie, and I'll be happy to talk to you, as long as we focus on some 100 minute material. And you can do that by sending an email to rustthebus07@gmail.com. that's rustthebus07@gmail.com. or you can again hit me up on Twitter. If you would be so kind, please give those subscribe and give me those great reviews on the podcast apps to help the algorithm. If you want to talk trash about the show, again, my Twitter is @CatPusRuss. Thanks again for Stacia Harden being an inspiration to me and keep me going with this show. And thank you again, Gregory Carl, for coming back to the show. Great talk with you. And, you know, all I can say is keep thinking about what you want to do next.
Pleasure as always, man. It gives me an excuse to watch. We seem to like a lot of the same stupidity.
Oh, I wouldn't necessarily.
If anybody ever wants to talk about some dumb wrestling stuff, hit me up. Because I'm more or less just get aggravated about wrestling. That's about all I do.
That's not a bad place to be. Welcome to the IWC. So, all right. Well, thank you again, and have yourself a good night.
Yep, you too, bud.
All right. Let me hit that stop button. There we go. That's the end button.
Can I hear a wahoo?